Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Brewed or Screwed, a Commander deck building podcast. I am your host, Cody, alongside my good friend, Laz.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, Laz. How you been?
I'm doing pretty good, man.
Yeah. Been a minute since we recorded.
It's been like 2 weeks.
Which is, you know, that's a while.
Okay.
All which right. I say that we do a monthly podcast, so like I don't know why I'm always like, it's been a while, you know?
It feels like it's been like 4.2 weeks since we last recorded.
Which, but yeah, I mean, you know, I like sitting down talking to you about Magic. It's one of the highlights of my month.
Aw, thanks, buddy.
And
me too.
Now it's going to be the highlight of my month twice.
Twice,
because
yeah.
Because we're now doing a new podcast as well, which you can hear episode one on the podcast feed. It's a podcast series called Brew Review.
It's we should just change it to Fixing Laz's Decks. I know you said you're throwing one of yours up there for consideration, but you know, it's gonna be like, I don't know, man, like swap these two creatures. All right, back to your deck, Laz. You need like 15 more lands and maybe put some removal in there.
No, I think I think it's gonna be fun. Because you know, we had a recent conversation about power level and how like, you know, ever since I started playing Magic with you guys, it feels like it's an arms race. And I think, you know, I kind of, like, you saying that kind of made me step back and go, yeah, you know, I think I build my decks too aggressively to, like, because, like, I noticed it when I was doing some testing of some decks I've been building, where it's, like, I feel like if I'm not doing something by turn 3 or 4, my deck is shitty. And, like, I thought about that, and I was like, wait a minute.
No.
No, like, 3 or 4 is, like, that's the part where you're like ramping and
yeah, well that's the problem. Like turn 4 now, it used to be okay, but now it's like turn 4 or 5 comes around and I'm playing, you know, my second creature or maybe an enchantment, and everyone else is like, all right, well I, you know, played this and brought my commander out, or I have, you know, 9 mana for somehow. It's like, okay, you know, because I still for the most part build my decks pretty slow. You know, I like to establish a board presence before making myself a threat, and it's kind of hard to do that if not everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, I agree. And so like, yeah, I kind of started kind of reviewing, like there are decks where I'm like, I'm just gonna take this apart because it's just too good, and like it's not fun. It's not fun to just sit there and just beat people up, and
well,
you feel bad.
Even little things like, because kind of the same problem when I first started playing is I was trying to make a deck, you know, as fast as possible, as good as possible. And now I've started taking out my tutors, like decks that had tutors in them. I'm taking the tutors out. Decks that had like Eldrazi or just those big cards that just kind of shut down the game or shut down, you know, one person. I kind of took those out. I'm trying to, I don't know. I don't mind competitive decks as if everyone's playing a competitive deck, but it's pretty important to just when you sit down, be like, hey, I'm trying something new. Like through the night, you're like, oh, I'm doing a Spellslinger deck. Someone's trying a new, you know, what was it? A horror tribal deck. Someone's doing Hydras.
Oh, God.
And then our buddy Mike's like, I'm playing Ur-Dragon. You know, turn 4, fill the board with dragons. Like, okay, man, that's not what we're going for this time.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, in that vein, I built a Gandalf the Grey Spellslinger deck because I was like, you know, this is something I've never made a deck for. But also, I feel like it kind of, you know, you play a little slower. You know, you're not like turn 3 or 4 doing crazy shit. You're building up mana. You're getting like cards in place, like Archmage Meridus, you know.
Putting some stuff
saving
in your
up
graveyard.
Some instants. Yeah, things like that. And then it does that one flashy thing or that one cool thing. And so, yeah, what Laz was referring to is we played one game the other night. It was my first time playing Gandalf the Grey. I was playing Gandalf. Our friend Mike was playing Ur-Dragon. Our friend Alan was playing Captain of Gathrod, which is that horror mill tribal. It was that pre-con from Baldur's Gate that came out, which I bought that pre-con. And you guys were like, oh, no. And I was like, so when I sat down and I looked over and saw he was playing it, I went, oh, no. And our friend Nick was playing his Hydra deck. I forget the name of the commander, but it's just like
it's changed like 3 or 4 times.
Copies the X spells things. So yeah, it was kind of like, okay, well, like Ur-Dragon is very strong, but there are times where, like, you know, he stalls out and doesn't get stuff going.
Yeah.
This wasn't one of those games. You know, he, by turn, I want to say 6 or 7, had a very strong board state and was swinging for at least, like, 10 to 20 damage a turn.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to do a really cool play that I'm super proud of. It's because I've been, like, saving cards in hand and things like that. I got Gandalf on the board. I then played Arrancus Vile Duplication, which copies a creature and makes it non-legendary and flying. So I picked Gandalf, and I chose the mode for Gandalf where you can copy the spell. And so I copied the Arrancus Vile Duplication, made 2 copies of Gandalf, had 3 copies on board. I then played a Pongify, targeting Ur-Dragon, and then used the 2 copies to kill a Mirum and an Earthquake Dragon. And, like, pretty much, you know, replace his dragons with monkeys.
Good.
That was absolutely a cool fucking play. My friend Mike doesn't like being targeted. No, he didn't. He wasn't very happy about it.
It's so annoying. He's, you know, messaging everybody after a game. Like, oh, I was targeted. So I was like, you still won. Yeah, but it was 3v1. It's like, yeah, well, because he brought a strong deck and you still won with, you know, 3v1. So maybe next time play a little bit more fair.
I had fun. Got to do a cool thing, and I was happy about it. So,
hey, I've said many times, I don't care so much about winning. I care about my deck doing what I built it to do. You know, if you want to be able to play lots of spells and then copy those spells and hit multiple targets, and you get to do that, that's great. You know, it's what you built the deck to do. You would have liked to win, but, you know, you still got to do it at least. And
yeah, it's fun. Especially for, like, a first outing of the deck, I was really glad, like, because I, you know, there's always that first time you play a deck and you're like, oh god, what if this sucks?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if I built this wrong? Like, what if it's like the combos I had in mind don't work? Or, like, what if the spells I picked were terrible? And, like, no, I feel like everything was going really well. I did see some cards where I was like, I think I might take these out, they're a little slow. You know, I like those class cards from the D&D set.
I feel like I haven't found, like, a good use. Like, I've never played one and been like, oh, thank God I drew this. It's always like, what the fucker?
I played the Sorcerer class one, and I was like, it just sat there for the rest of the game. I was like, this is not going to do anything for me. Yeah. So, yeah.
I think the biggest problem is that you were playing with a non-podcast sanctioned deck, you know? We're supposed to brew all of our decks together, and you just kind of went rogue, built this deck, and didn't win. So had we sat down and had our discussion, you know, maybe we'd have fared better, but it's all right. You know, non-sanctioned, you know, deck. What do you expect?
I want to be doing my thing on the side, but I want to bring, like, the really nice things, you know.
Decks
that neither of us play Spell Singer, you know, right. So, like... But hey, maybe that's a one day a brew review where we can talk about cards I should cut and add and things like that.
Oh, absolutely. What I like to do sometimes is kind of build a deck backwards, you know, where I'll find a creature that I really like and then build a deck around that creature. I mentioned, what podcast were we talking about where I said, what was it?
The Meteor for Jared.
Yeah, the Meteor for Jared. Yeah. Star of Extinction, that's what it was.
Star of Extinction, yeah.
Yeah, so sometimes I'd like to do that, and I've always tried, because I loved the card when I first started playing, Crackling Drake, which is just, it's such a fun card, just a +1/+1 for each instant of sorcery in your graveyard, in exile, you know, all this stuff, and it's just, it's good for a spell slinger deck, but it's just a lot of copying spells and a lot of pinging people for 1 damage, just kind of 2 play styles I don't do, so it's like, all right. And then it's like, oh, Drake Tribal. It's like, ooh, maybe Drake Tribal. I can't be doing that.
it's cool, and I'm excited to, like, keep playing it. And speaking of Jared, Laz.
All right, so I also played a couple games since we last recorded, and I've just been trying to get my time in with Alondra, you know, that first episode that we did with the mono blue commander, and with Jared. I'm like, all right, these are the 2 decks. You know, I said I was going to brew. Let's give them their due diligence. So Alondra, I didn't win, but I was doing well. You know, that's the thing. I was doing what I was trying to do. It was drawing cards. It was a little slow. I was just getting some kind of bad card draw. I was not really drawing any of my card draw spells, which was kind of really hurting me. But yeah. I was able to at least, you know, send out some damage and leave up some blockers. So I'm fine with that. Jared, man, that deck has just sucked every time I've played it. I feel so bad. Like, when we did the podcast, I loved it. Playtesting it, loved it. And it's just every single time I bring it out, it does nothing. It just never... I'm never the Monarch. You know, I can never maintain the Monarch. So I don't think I've ever put more than, like, 3 counters on Jared before. And the whole point is it's supposed to be kind of a... like a sneaky Voltron deck where I'm loading them up with counters and, you know, a couple of pieces. And it just has never happened. And, man, I don't know what it is. I got to give it at least one more game. At least one more game to make it, you know.
I'm trying to remember.
I don't know.
Because I wasn't able to play that night. And so it was you were playing with Mike, Nick, and Alan. Mm-hmm. And I got a text saying, so Jared fucking sucks. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, you knew it wasn't a good night.
I was like, that's not a good night.
I think I sent you that real shitty meme. The meme of friendship with Jared over friendship with literally any other commander. It's just, man, I would rather play any other deck. I'd rather play my my Feldegriff deck, which talk about a slow deck that doesn't do anything till the end. Like that, I'd rather play that. It's just, I don't know. I cannot get Jared to work. I don't know what I'm missing.
They did just add a bunch of new Monarch cards in red-white, at least, with the Lord of the Rings stuff. So maybe there's a couple gems there to check out. And
how, I don't know. How misleading is it to have a brew review, like, 2 months after, you know, talking about it? Like, hey, remember this deck we said was really good? We got to fix it, because that is terrible. The deck does not work.
I think there's definitely a case for, like, hey, this looked good on paper after... Because that was before we were really, like, playtesting really super hard.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that. So...
Yeah, we had, since found out the box field trick with the playtesting and stuff like that, but...
Yeah. I think there's definitely a case there for being like, well, hey, you know, we didn't get to test this as much as we would have liked, and on the podcast, we raved about it, but looking back, it needs some help. So I think it's okay.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll have to see if we end up doing that, but people aren't here to listen to us talk about previous decks and previous episodes. They're here for that new, you know, for the hotness, for what's really going on the streets. So that's what we're here to talk about.
I'm really excited for this episode because
this is a weird one.
Rule diehard person, I was super happy when you brought this up to me. So. Last one, without further ado.
Well, this is actually a suggestion from a listener, I would like to say. Oh. This was a suggestion from a listener to build this. And I started looking at it and looking into it, and I was like, yeah, this is going to be a real interesting one. So, the commander in question is Rorik Thar the Unbowed. Unbowed? Unbowed?
I say Unbowed.
Unbowed. He is 4... colorless, a red and a green, legendary ogre warrior, vigilance, reach. Rorik Thar the Unbowed attacks each combat if able. Whenever a player casts a non-creature spell, Rorik Thar deals 6 damage to that player, and he is a 6/6. So he is a pretty decently big body, a 6/6. He's got vigilance, fantastic. He's got reach, so he can block. Does have that stipulation that whenever that he has to attack, if able, each combat. So you kind of have to make sure you pick your targets well. And then it just has that little caveat on the bottom. Whenever a player casts a non-creature spell, Rorik Thar deals 6 damage to that player. So I think what we have here is a pretty creative way of circumventing that. And that's why we named the deck Rorik 64. And the reason we called it that is because there are 64 creatures in this deck. That is it.
We're going all in.
We are going all in. This deck is creatures and mana. And then one special card that we'll talk about in a little bit. There is a singular non-creature card in this deck. So we'll talk about that later. That's kind of the ultimate win con, hopefully. But yeah, that is the deck of the month. Rorikthar the Unbowed.
Yeah. And this is, like I said, made my gruel heart very happy. I actually pulled this card from a pack. Double Masters.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it at a Barnes & Noble like a couple weeks into playing Magic, and I pulled it, and I was like, this is a pretty cool looking card. I like this one a lot. So you talk about how, you know, person suggested it, but what makes this a deck you think you would enjoy?
I think the reason I'm going to like it is I kind of did a couple of things with this deck. One of the things I did is there was a commander that I've had kind of, you know, in my browser for months now, and I've spoken about, which is Raga Draga.
Yes.
It's kind of and we'll get into that card too when we go through the cards here, but it's a card that buffs mana dorks pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, well, if I'm doing this commander, I want to do as many creatures as possible so I'm not taking that 6 damage. And then I was like, you know what? Raga Draga is the same exact colors. So if I throw him in there, then I can load the deck with mana dorks and kind of use that in place of my ramp spells or enchantments and things like that. And then I'd kind of be able to have a secret commander, you know, a secondary commander.
Yeah.
Because once Raga Draga comes out, then all of my mana dorks, they pretty much get vigilance. You know, you're able to tap them for mana and then untap them. They get, what, +2/+2 or something like that. So it kind of buffs all that. So it kind of turns into a mana dork tribal deck until the end game, when hopefully you can draw that one card and win the game. So... and we'll go over that more, but I kind of felt like this is something I've never built before. I always, always, always have the problem of having way too many creatures in my deck. Whenever I brew any deck, that is always the first thing. It's like, all right, you know, so I'm 15 cards over somehow. And then I look and I have like 46 creatures. Like, okay, we got cut a couple. I love creatures, man. That's why I'm playing Magic. I'm playing Magic for creatures, for card art, for abilities and stats and stuff like that. You know, enchantments and artifacts are fine, and it's cool that they pump the whole board, but yeah, I want big creatures. And if I'm playing nothing but creatures, I'm going to penalize my opponents for it too.
I mean, hey, this is the way to do it. So I think we can kind of go over the de facto, hey, this is how we just straight up win the game.
Mm-hmm.
You have one sorcery in the deck.
One sorcery.
And it is Primal Surge.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to read it off for us.
Absolutely. So, Primal Surge. Let me remember my alphabet here because it's not an alphabet. There we go. Primal Surge. It's a big boy here. It's a sorcery. 8 colorless. Green and a green. Exile the top card of your library. If it's a permanent card, you may put it onto the battlefield. If you do... repeat this process. So, this is the only non-permanent card in the deck. So, once I play this, I play my entire deck. So, that is fantastic. So, it's pretty much kind of ramp up until I can get this card. I don't have any tutors in the deck. You know, I know there was a couple of green cards I could have put in there that tutor. A couple of creatures that would have let me tutor there, but I didn't want to do that. I think it's...
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I don't like the playstyle. I feel it's a little cheesy of, hey, I have one card that wins the game. I'm going to tutor for that as soon as I can and win the game. I kind of like it when it's a top deck or, you know, my life gain deck. I don't tutor for Aetherflux Reservoir. I just really hope it comes up, because once it does, then it's over, so... it's kind of the same thing with this. Hopefully I draw it pretty early, but pretty much once you draw it, then put everything on the board. So you kind of want to make sure you have your haste enablers up, or, you know, whatever you need to kind of put everything on there, because this doesn't give everything haste, unfortunately. That does kind of suck. But I have other creatures in here that give creatures haste and things like that. Yeah. So this is the way to win. And if you're not winning with this, hopefully I have a lot of mana dorks in here that get buffed from Raga Draga. And besides that, I have just a lot of big creature cards in here anyway, because I'm hopefully going to have a lot of mana to play with. So he's the goal. Think,
you know, 6 damage from your commander adds up very quickly, and there, you know, you do have one creature in here that doubles that, so it could potentially be a 12 damage. So like, it's pretty much like, I'm either going to play my entire deck and beat you down, or I'm just going to beat you down nonstop until I get there. And I mean, that's just like the Gruul way, and I love it. So yeah, really cool deck. I like that the big payoff thing is the Primal Surge, but along the way we can definitely do a lot of damage with our commander. And just Gruul has a lot of cool cards like Kogla and things like that to just beat up, and so it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, let's go over a little bit of a stat breakdown of the deck.
Okay.
So as we talked about, lands, we have 34. Creatures, not including Rurikdhar, is 64. The one sorcery, but breaking it down even further, we have mana dorks, 18 of them.
Strong number. Strong number of mana dorks.
Creatures with removal on them, we have 12.
Mm-hmm.
Creatures that draw us cards in some way, 10. And I think that, you know, that's pretty good. I mean, considering the fact that, like,
I have
no think about a normal deck you would build, that it would be kind of around what you would want of card draw, what you would want of removal, things like that.
And that was kind of what I went into. So there was a couple of cards that, you know, seem like no-brainers to add, or, you know, a couple of cards I have in here that might be too expensive for what they do, but you have to, remember, there's no instants, no sorceries, no enchantments in this deck, so any removal has to be an ETB effect or trigger the, you know, activate ability on a card. Same with card draw. You know, I'm only getting more card draw based off of what creatures I'm playing, so it's, you know, by no means is this going to be the strongest deck, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun to play because it kind of lets you be able to just cook with creatures, casting lots of creatures, casting lots of mana dorks, which in turn let you cast bigger and bigger creatures. And you are just, once your commander's out there, man, you are putting so much pressure on your opponents that they can't cast anything without taking 6 damage. You know, that you have a turn where a player would normally cast, you know, 2 or 3 spells that aren't creatures. And, you know, now it's going to be like, I'm not taking 18 damage to, you know, play a rampant growth and, you know, opt or something like that. You know, just it's not worth it. So
definitely if I sit down across from you and I see you're pulling this deck out, Gandalf is going back in the box and I will play something different.
That's the thing. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to play Gandalf. It's going to be fun. I'm like, you don't want me to play. Why not? Like, you don't want to play. It's just, well, and that's the thing. I wouldn't sneak this in there. You know, you kind of make it very known, like, hey, I'm playing Rurikdhar. So just, you know, be prepared so someone doesn't pull out a Spellslinger deck. Like, nah, I think I could handle it. Like, yeah, maybe. You better hope.
That's when we talk about a couple of cards that, you know, some of the favorites in the deck. I mean, I know it's a lot of creatures we'll be talking about, but let's talk about a couple of them.
Okay. All right. Well, so kind of my favorite cards in the deck is the first one I wrote down is Endraise Forerunners. This is kind of another, not a win condition, but definitely a put you in a very good spot condition. You know, 5 colorless, green, green, green. It's a creature boar, 7/7. Has vigilance, trample, haste. When Endraise Forerunners enters the battlefield, other creatures you control get +2/+2, gain vigilance, and gain trample until end of turn. Put this out there, buff your whole board. Everything can swing because everything has vigilance, and they all have trample. This is a very good way, kind of an overrun effect or, you know, something like that. But it's stapled onto a creature, so you can kind of get away with it without having to take 6 damage. So
yeah, very, very strong. I think, you know, like, in the terms of, like, green finishers, it's, like, Craterhoof and then, like, this one, probably. Mm-hmm. There's probably a case for, like, Pathfinder Ibex or whatever that card is. But, like, yeah, this is a very strong one. I think this can do some work here. Because you have a lot of cheap creatures, and so buffing them with +2/+2 and giving them vigilance can kind of go wide and swing for a lot.
I'm looking now. Neither of us put Crater Hoof Behemoth in this deck.
I tried to steer clear of like the really expensive, like, you know, there's Terror of the Peaks, but like, mm-hmm. Didn't want to like put, you know, go for that.
Oh no, I agree. I kind of did the same thing. I actually was able to make this deck pretty cheap because, you know, not spending tons of money on all those expensive enchantments and artifacts that kind of pump up your deck. All right.
Oh yeah.
Second card that I like is Vexing Shusher. This is it's 2 mana. It's, what's that called? The split mana there. It's a Gruul Gruul. How about that? Hybrid mana. Gruul Gruul, creature, goblin, shaman. It's a 2/2. This spell cannot be countered, and then you're able to pay either a green or a red at any point to make it so a target spell can't be countered. This is very good for if you have this out there and then you get your Primal Surge in hand and you go to cast it. You can make it so it can't be countered. If you want to cast your commander and someone's, you know, planning on like, all right, well, as soon as he gets 6 mana, cast Heroic Thar, I'm going to counter it. You have this out there first, which happened to me actually once or twice in the playtests. I had this out and it was fantastic where I was able to just like, all right, well, I'd be able to protect my commander. I love that it's just a 1 mana to do it. There's no tap, you know, so you can do it multiple times, you know, if someone then tries to counter, you know, something else, you know, to counter a counter. Like, nope, dude, you can do it twice as long as you have mana. And then this is also good for politicking, I was thinking, too, where, you know, if you have someone else that, you know, they have kind of a creature-heavy deck or something like that, and, you know, someone's about to blow up your board or, you know, you need a little... you know, a little protection to not have someone attack you. You can be like, hey, you know, I'll leave a mana open. And the next spell that's being countered on your board, I'll make it so it can't be countered, you know, kind of just throw that out there to kind of convince people to be nice to you until you can kill everyone. Let's see. The next card, it's actually like 3 cards because they all kind of do the same thing. I have Beast Whisperer, Garruk's Pack Leader, and then I just didn't even write down the third card. I have to go through here and find it. But they're all pretty much the same thing. Beast Whisperer, 2 colorless, a green and a green for a 2/3 elf druid. Whenever you cast a creature spell, draw a card. That's good. That's a creature. What card draw is just stapled right onto it. Speaking of staples, this is a green staple. This should be in pretty much every single green deck you play just because it's fantastic card draw. Then I also add Garruk's Pack Leader, which is... there you go. Whenever another creature with power 3 or greater enters the battlefield under your control, you may draw a card. Most of the creatures in this deck are bigger than that. I know there are a lot of mana dorks, but I kind of tried to skew onto some of the bigger mana dorks so that I could get away with being able to utilize this. And then... I don't know why I didn't write down that third card.
But you talk about Primordial Sage. Whenever you cast a spell, you draw a card.
Actually, yeah, I think that's... yep. Whenever you cast a creature spell, you may draw a card. 4 colorless, a green and a green for a 4/5 spirit. Thank you, Cody. So, I can kind of counted that all as 1 card. They all kind of do the same thing, and you're going to want that out there. You know, when you have a lot of these 1 and 2 cost mana dorks, and you're able to draw cards for playing them. Fantastic. All right, and then
I had put Beast Whisperer in that Humans tribal deck last month because I was like, it's not a human, but it will draw me a lot of cards.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see, and then I have my last favorite card of the deck is the Hammer Mage, 1 colorless and a red for a 1/1 spell shaper creature, and at any point you can pay X and a red and tap it to discard a card from your hand, destroy all artifacts, CMC X or less. This is great if someone has a ton of artifacts, if someone has a ton of treasures, if someone's playing some type of, you know, Tron or, you know, artifact-heavy deck, you can kind of just do this. It doesn't destroy the creature for it, so you're able to kind of do it a couple of times. I think this is... pretty strong in this deck, just because if you're not playing artifacts, then no one else should be playing artifacts too. So,
yeah,
you know, someone thinks they're being smart by loading up their board with all these treasure tokens before you can get Rurik Thar out there. Then you just blow them all up so that they're kind of stuck in the wall there and forced to cast some damaging spells to themselves. So
some amazing card art on this thing too. Just this little dude wearing like a, looks like a birthday hat, smashing hammers together.
And he's wearing pantaloons. I would describe those as pantaloons. This is
I would agree with that. What is it? But yeah, very strong.
Yeah, I thought this was good. I thought it was a very good card.
I'm a little sad you didn't mention one of my favorite cards of all time.
Well, now hold on before you mention it. Maybe it's my golden screw, you know, my golden brew card.
Oh.
You know, because I do have one of those. Okay. I don't know if say that now, say that later after we review everything, but we go over it.
I'll say one of my favorite cards. And okay. If it is a golden screw, you can hold on to this.
But all right. Let's hear yours.
Goblin Anarchomancer. Love this card so much. It makes your commander a 4-cost instead of a 6-cost and reduces the cost of a lot of stuff in this deck. Love it a lot.
What does it do?
Tasty. It is a red and a green for a Goblin Shaman. Each spell you cast that's red or green costs one less to cast. So if you have a Gruul, like our commander, card, it makes it cost two less. This is how, like, I have this in Minsk and Boo, so I can make Minsk and Boo a 2-mana cast from my command zone. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of cards that this would help in the deck.
Another one I like is Dragonborn Champion. I think the card art for this one is really cool. It is 2 colorless, a red and a green for a dragon warrior. Has trample. It says whenever a sword you control deals 5 or more damage to a player, draw a card. So if this is on board and so is Rurik Thar, and someone plays a spell or an artifact, you're pinging them for 6 and drawing a card off of it.
It's fantastic. Free card draw.
Last one for me is actually going to be the Whiptongue Hydra.
Okay. Yeah.
It's 5 colorless and a green for a lizard Hydra with reach. And when it enters the battlefield, you destroy all creatures with flying. And then you put a +1/+1 counter on it for each creature destroyed this way. And it's a 4/4. I play a dragon's deck. Mike plays a magic dragon's deck. Nick plays a dragon's deck.
Alan so this has is just lots a very of fairy good, decks, you know.
Fairies, yeah. Like everyone in our playgroup plays a deck that has like a flying, like sub theme. Mm-hmm. So very strong.
Hey,
so,
well, it kind of goes with the same thing with that previous card I mentioned. If I can't play flyers, no one else is. You know, yeah. I think I might have a flyer or two in this deck, but not any good ones.
Yeah,
hard to come by in Gruul sometimes.
But yeah, I mean, we had talked. I want to talk about this a little bit. You had mentioned that you could make this deck a lot more mean, and I was like, well, let's talk about that. Like, what cards were you thinking? And you had sent me like one of these cards where like it was like 7 mana, but like when it died or when it entered the battlefield, it destroyed every land.
Let me find this. Yeah,
yeah. You look it up. And as I again, as we talked about earlier, you know, talking about power level and like. There's opportunities to make certain decks very strong, but also just very annoying to deal with. And, you know, I think Rurik Thar pinging for 6 is strong, but it dies to a swords and someone takes 6 for it. So, I mean,
yeah,
things like that.
Here we go. Myojin of Infinite Rage is expensive. 7 colorless, red for a legendary spirit. When it comes into play with a divinity counter on it, if you play it from your hand, Myojin of Infinite Rage is indestructible as long as it has a divinity counter on it. Remove a divinity counter from Myojin of Infinite Rage, destroy all lands. That is very, very strong in this deck, because by the time I have 10 mana, you know, I have most of my creatures out on the deck probably, you know, out on the battlefield probably. And the thing is, I have so many mana dorks in here that, honestly, after a point, I don't really need the lands, you know, because a couple of my playtests, I was just, trust me, I fiddled with this. I was like, you know what? I can actually cast a lot of stuff just by using some of these mana dorks, because some of them are, you know, tap at 3 green mana, or, yeah, you know, whenever you tap a mana source, add an additional mana for each color it could produce. So, you know, your mana dorks are strong. I'm like, I should really put this in there and then just wipe everybody's land, just destroy everyone's land, destroy their artifacts so they have no treasure tokens, and then just have fun. But I decided against it.
Yeah, you said this to me, and I was like, Laz, I'm tired of every game feeling like an arms race. Also, Laz brings a nuke to the table.
That is one of the things I was talking about making your deck less powerful so that it's more fun. But man, I'm tempted. Maybe I'll throw it in there. Is there a sideboard in Commander? Maybe I'll sideboard it.
Sideboard, yeah. Whenever someone gets you a little salty, you just take out a mana dork and just slide this in there, and you're like, all right, I'm good.
Type of card you hide under the playmat, you know? It's been out there for a couple of turns.
Just in case.
I'd like to remove this divinity counter real quick. And there was a couple of cards like that were able to just come in and just ruin everyone else's day. And yeah. I did put one or two of them in there, I'm not gonna lie. But this is one that I decided.
Felt a little mean.
Yeah, if I'm gonna play a card that destroys all lands, it's gonna be in a deck that can sufficiently protect itself and capitalize a little. You know, like this. If I destroy all lands, I should be good. I might not. You know, that's the thing. You know, you do that and you kind of taking a gamble. So. No, that's going to go on my Land Destruction Tribal deck when I build it eventually.
Oh, God. I hope that day never comes. All right. Laz, as always, every episode we talk about some cuts, we talk about some ads. What do you want to hear first?
Let's hear some cards that you want to cut. That's what I think. Let's talk about what you thought were bad cards. Because I told you, I'm like, Cody, this is going to be a real fast episode because it's literally going to be the introduction and then you saying, all right, the deck looks good, let's do it, and then sign off. You know, how do you critique perfection, I think, is the text I sent you.
That is what you sent me, yes.
Apparently you found a way.
I'm going to say, I don't think any of these cards are bad. I just wanted to... My main goals when looking at the cuts and adds were, okay, how do we protect Rurikthar when he's on the board?
Mm-hmm.
How do we make sure that if we can't, you know, if Primal Surge is the 98th card in our deck and we can't get it in time, how do we just make sure that we're able to win another way? Things like that. And then also just like trying to, you know, you had a lot of these cards were like literally like, I'm taking this out to give you this because I think in the long run it's better.
Okay. 64 creatures. Like after a while it was... My head was starting to spin a little bit, and I was real deep on the Gatherer website, like looking at some.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's how I found that Hammer Mage and stuff like that. Because I don't think that was on EDH rec either. I was like, nope, I need ways to destroy other people's stuff. So yeah, okay. let's go over some of these.
All right, let's talk about four that I think we can kind of lump together. These are four mana dorks that I felt like I had found like a couple options that were a little bit better.
Okay.
And the ads. So first up is Beastcaller Savant. This is one colorless and a green for an elf shaman ally. It has haste. You can tap it to add one mana of any color. You have to spend it to cast a creature. Obviously good because it has a haste, so it can tap immediately. But it's only tapping for one mana. Some of the stuff I'm trying to present to you is going to have the option to tap for more than one mana. And either be around the same cost or one more, things like that.
Do you want to go back and forth maybe with these ones of what you
cut? I was thinking about that. Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just because.
Let me go over these four, and then I'll tell you about the mana dorks I suggest.
Because it's not like the sexiest cuts and ads for mana dorks at the end of the day. So let's group those together. Just all right.
Yeah.
So you cut
Beastcaller
Savant.
Elysian Carotid, another colors and a green for a plant that you tap it for one mana of any color, but if you control a creature with four or greater power, you can add two mana.
Okay.
So
I like two mana.
Yeah. Like, we like 2 mana. So this is one I was like less, but I, you know, I mean, I think this is a good one. Let's see here. We have Drum Hunter. This is 3 colorless and a green for a human druid warrior. At the beginning of your end step, if you control a creature with power 5 or greater, you may draw a card. It taps for a colorless, and it's a 2/2. I didn't like the stats on this one, and it does draw you a card if there's a 5 or power, like 5 or stronger creature on the board. I just didn't like the, it's a 2/2 for 4, and it taps for a colorless. It's not tapping for a green or a red.
All right.
That was kind of my beef with this one.
Okay.
And the last one is going to be Land of War Tribe. You do have a lot of mana dorks to tap for green.
This is the most even card I think I've ever seen. Green, green, green. Yeah. You can tap it to green, add green, 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 and it's a 3/3. It's a 3/3 for 3 that adds 3. This is synergy in a card. What's wrong with it?
I mean, yeah. I would say this is another just like Elysian, I'm less, you know, if you want to keep this one, totally understand. Now, the mana dorks, I'm going to suggest we add.
Mm-hmm.
One being Somberwald Sage. You might remember it from the Human Tribal deck. You told me to cut it. It's a 2 colorless and a green. You tap it, add 3 mana of any one color. Spend this mana only to cast creature spells. I like that you have the option of either green or red here.
Okay.
So if you have like Enraised Forerunners and you have like a bunch of red mana, but you need that green, or if you have Coggle and Yadaro, if you know. So just options. I wanted you to have options.
Okay.
And then the other one is Gwenna, Eyes of Gaia. This is 2 colors and a green for a elf druid scout. You tap it to add 2 mana in any combination of the colors. Spend this only to cast creatures or activate abilities of creatures.
Okay.
Whenever you cast a creature spell with power 5 or greater, you put a +1/+1 counter on Gwenna and untap it.
Okay.
So
you can kind of get a second usage out of it.
Yeah. You have Hammer Mage. You can sink the 2 mana into Hammer Mage. You play a creature of 5 or greater. You untap it, makes it bigger, so it grows with you.
Or I can just use that to activate the, the counter target spell can't be countered, something like that. No, that's a good one for 3 mana. And yeah, no, you do raise a good point with the adding generic mana, because I did have some of those mana dorks that just add generic mana, so it would probably be my best interest. And the reason I told you to cut that card from your deck is because, you know, you only had so many creatures in the deck and you had all sorts of other things. So Somberwald Mage Sage, that is a good addition to this, because they add 3 mana of any one color, spend this mana, only cast creature spells. It's all creature spells. So that's a limitation that doesn't really affect this deck, which is the best kind of limitation.
Next up, for a cut with a card that I was pairing with an ad, we're going to do the Tarrasque. This is 6 colorless, green, green, green for a legendary dinosaur. The Tarrasque has haste and ward 10 as long as it was cast, and whenever it attacks, it fights target creature defending player controls.
Why would you cut this?
Okay, so I think, here's what I'm, as okay. I'm picturing this card, Laz is going, oh yeah, I pulled this with Primal Surge, big old 10-10, it's going to hit some shit.
Mm-hmm.
What if this is in our hand before we get Primal Surge?
That's fine, man. I have mana dorks. I have ways to reduce cost of creatures. Man, I know 9 mana sounds like a lot to the common man, but I don't know. This is kind of, like you said, what happens
to Primal? Sounds like a lot. Sounds like a lot.
What happens if Primal Surge is the 98th card, you know? So this is, I figured this was nice because whenever it attacks, it's also fighting a creature first, you know? So it kind of, or even if they choose not to block with their, you know, the only card on their battlefield that's giving them mana, they'd be like, nope, I'm fighting it anyway. So it is very expensive though. And the mana curve on this deck got wicked after a while. I was looking at thought Moxfield was gonna send me a little pop up like, are you sure you want you sure you're done with this one, because you got a lot in the 8 and 9 slot.
Yeah. So a direct upgrade, in my opinion,
let's hear it,
was Godzilla Primeval Champion, a.k.a. Titanoth Rex. 7 colorless, 2 green. Dinosaur Beast, a better dinosaur in my opinion. Has Trample, has Cycling 1 in the green. It's an 11-11. When you cycle it, you can put a Trample counter on target creature control. So hear me out here. Get this in hand. If Tarrasque is in hand, it's dead card for a little bit. You get this in hand, pay 2, Trample counter on Rurik Thar. Now we're getting a little bit of damage through. Pull it from the deck. It's an 11-11 versus a 10-10.
Okay.
That was kind of my one for one. Big dinosaur for big dinosaur.
Because I like that the Tarrasque has the Ward 10. That's
only if you cast
it. That's only if I cast it. But that's the thing. Even if I don't cast it, it's still a 10-10 coming out that when that's it attacks, right. It fights a defending creature. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe there's room for both. Porque no los dos. Sometimes we can fit 2 of these bad boys in there. But, yeah, I'll have to think about that because Godzilla is nice. But man, that is a feels bad cycling an 11-11 creature.
We have a reclamation sage. We're not reclamation sage. Eternal Witness to get it back in hand if you really want it that bad.
I think I only got the one. I have to go through and check. I think I only have the one card. Maybe I'll have to try it. I'll try a game or two with the swap, but we'll see about that one.
Okay.
That's fine. I'm on the fence. Right. I'm on the fence.
Next up for cuts,
mm-hmm.
I have Spellbreaker Behemoth. 1 colorless, a red, green for a beast. Spellbreaker Behemoth cannot be countered.
Great.
Creature spells you control with power 5 or greater cannot be countered. It's a 5/5.
Mm-hmm.
The direct upgrades that I had in mind: Prowling Serpapod. Colorless, green for a cat snake. Prowling Serpapod can't be countered. Creatures, spells you control cannot be countered. It's a 4/3. So less mana. And okay. It counts all your creatures, not just creatures with power 5 or greater.
That is better. So it's cheaper.
Also,
it's cheaper and it's all creatures. All right.
Yeah. I also have Slippery Bog Bonder, which that's a fucking fun name if I've ever said one.
The old Slippery Bog Bonder.
The old Slippery Bog Bonder. 3 and a green for a human druid with flash and hexproof. And when it ETBs, you put a hexproof counter on target creature. And then you can move any number of counters from among creatures you control onto that creature. This puts a hexproof counter directly on Rurik Thar if we want it.
Okay. So
people cannot mess with him. Can't get swords, can't get pathed. That is no board wipe, but also think about if you put that trample counter on something else from Titan of Thrax, you can move that trample counter to Rurik Thar. You can move some +1/+1s to Rurik Thar, make Rurik Thar big. It's a giant vigilance trample reach monster.
Yeah, vigilance trample, reach with trample and hexproof. Okay. That I really like. I don't know if you can hear all the fireworks going off behind me right now. I apologize. It is 4th of July weekend. We are talking about this in pre-recording. We're like, it might not be an issue, but I live hood adjacent in a state where fireworks are illegal. So this is the one weekend where people just absolutely go nuts. It sounds like, Gaza Strip over here. So I apologize for that.
This next one.
Yes. What you got?
I think this is the one you're not going to be happy about.
Mm.
For a cut, I have Uktabi Orangutan.
You son of a bitch.
2 colorless and a green for an 8.
Son of a bitch. Why would you cut my monkey?
Comes into play, destroy target artifact.
Fantastic. It's a 2/2. That is my removal. Great card art.
But hear me out. What is an Uktabi Orangutan? To Kibo, the Uktabi Prince. 2 colors and a green. Legendary Monkey Noble.
Oh, all right. Hold on. So we're dealing with some royalty here.
Yeah. You can tap it to give everyone a banana artifact. It says, tap it and sacrifice this artifact to add red or a green. You gain 2 life. Whenever an artifact an opponent controls is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control that's an ape or a monkey. You do have a Coggla. You do have a Yadaro and a Coggla, so they could get buffed by this. Whenever Kipo attacks, defending players sacrifice an artifact. You don't even got to tap it for that monkey, that banana thing. You're just swinging at people and killing their treasure tokens. He's getting bigger. And you can do it every turn if you want.
Never attacks. I do like that they have to sacrifice an artifact. That does get around some stuff. But the thing is, that's he's a 2/2. And he's not flying or anything. So it's just kind of like 2/2 and someone has to sacrifice an artifact. But I feel like he just dies so easily. And also, Cody, you have some brass ones coming in here suggesting a card that gives everyone a free treasure artifact for the most part when you won't even play Path to Exile because it lets people get a basic land. And you're like, no, use this guy that gives all players, you know, a little banana, banana icon.
There's nothing wrong with giving people bananas. There are problems giving people lands, though.
Okay. All right. No,
this is ridiculous. I will not stand for this.
All right, but I do like this. Like I said, though, this might be a situation where there's room for both. You know, this doesn't necessarily have to be your classic monkey in, monkey out situation. So, I do like it. I do like that it forces them to sacrifice because that kind of helps with the removal aspect too. And we have a lot of people that like to play Tron decks. You know. in our pod and stuff like that too, so this kind of gets away from indestructible when you're making someone sack, so that is a very nice thing. I might not use the first part there, but besides that, everything else is nice too, especially if someone has treasure tokens. Every time they use a treasure token, if this is out, then I get a 1/1 counter on each creature you control that's an ape or a monkey, so all the more reason to keep the orangutan in there as well, maybe so.
Maybe so, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is definitely an addition. And I don't know, maybe we'll have to, maybe instead of Godzilla, put the Uktabi orangutan back in.
Maybe so.
It's an even swap.
Okay, so that does it for my direct 1/1, hey, these are cards I'm trying to cut to give you a better one here in the additions.
Do you hear the pot, like all these fireworks behind me? It's insane.
I am now starting to hear them a little bit.
I apologize.
No. Now we know to record before July 4th. Like,
it's not even July. It's July 1st, man. Yeah. People can't wait.
All right. First up for the remaining cuts, we have Coggla and Yadaro. Which, let me tell you, this is a tough one for me. Because Coggla is legitimately body slamming this guy onto Yadaro. And as a pro wrestling fan, this is my card. That being said, this card kind of sucks.
Why do you hate it?
Two colorless, red, red, green, green. Mm-hmm. For an ape dinosaur turtle, which, fuck yeah, ape dinosaur turtles for life.
That's the best creature type in Magic, I think.
Yeah. When it ETBs, choose one, it gains trample and haste until end of turn. Or it fights target creature you don't control. Two colorless, green or red, you can discard Coggla and Yadaro, destroy up to one target artifact or enchantment, and then shuffle it into your library from your graveyard, then you draw a card. That's a lot of mana, which I know you got all those mana dorks, you got all this way to make mana. But also that secondary effect, also not the best. You don't really, four mana to blow up one thing and then draw a card. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's just cost is like the main thing. Everything is costed way too much on this card.
I think the way they make this card better is if that four cost secondary ability was instead of discard Coggla and Yadaro, would be to sacrifice Coggla and Yadaro. Like if this was already out there and it had already done its trample haste or fighting a target and now it's just a 7/7 body sitting out there, I think this would be better as a, all right, pay four, destroy artifact and enchantment and draw a card. I agree. And I would be lying if I said part of the reason I didn't add this in there is just because it's a cool card. I liked that they did the partner cards.
It is.
In the March set, the March of Machines there. So, but yeah, no, this card can definitely get cut. I agree.
Next up, got Regal Force. This is four colorless green, green, green for an elemental. One ETBs, draw a card for each green creature you control. It's a 5/5. There's a lot of potential here to draw a lot of cards, because, you know, I think there's only one or two red creatures in this deck. There's a lot of...
Everything's green. Mixture. Everything's got a splash of green on it.
Green. Yeah. I'm not the biggest fan of this card, though, because, you know, seven mana, and, like... Also, oh, man. All right, so about this. If this enters the battlefield from Primal Surge... You'd have to stop and then draw cards, and then you could potentially draw your... Because I think this would have to resolve before the rest of the Primal Surge, correct?
When this enters the battlefield, draw a card for each green creature that you control. Yeah, so...
if this resolves first, and then you draw yourself to death?
I think I would draw myself to death?
If you have, like, 40 creatures on the board, yes, I think you could.
Well, then I just don't play it, you know? But the way I thought of this is once I have all those dorks out there and, like, because I know I don't have any tutors in this deck, but the goal of the deck is to get that Primal Surge. And so I thought this would be a very good way to get it, whereas if, you know, because besides that, it's a 7-cost 5/5. It's not like a good creature to really, be playing otherwise, but when I have all these mana dorks out there, when I have, what do you say, I had 18 mana dorks. You know, so then it's like, all right, I got 18 mana dorks, so I can essentially cast this for free and then draw 18 cards. That's just a better chance of, you know, getting that Primal Surge. But, you know, then I might have to discard a card or two. But
Maybe so.
I understand your point, though.
Yeah. I don't know.
We'll see. I think
it's just one to look at. That's all.
It's one to look at.
It's a good way to draw cards.
Well, okay. Yeah. All right.
Now my last cut is Ronus the Indomitable. Two colors and a green. Death Touch, Indestructible God. It can't attack or block unless you control another creature of power 4 or greater. And then two colors and a green, another target creature gets +2/+0 and gains trample until end of turn. It's a 5/5. I just worry that this could be a dead card for a little bit. If your whole board is mana dorks and just this, I mean, they can't attack, can't block. It's just stuck there.
I would be lying if I said that didn't happen on one or two of the play tests.
Okay.
You know, I thought my reasoning for putting this in there is just that in case I do have something else out there, then I do have a Death Touch Indestructible blocker. So I thought that would be helpful. As far as giving another creature trample, it's nice, but not necessary. But I could see the case being made for cutting this because, there very much so is the potential of, of it being a dead card. Like you said, you know, there are, I have a lot of creatures that are more than four, you know, power toughness there, but there are a lot of mana dorks that are 1/1s, 2/2s, or 3/3s, or 2/3s, and then you're kind of just, you're stuck with this guy out there. So yeah, no, I see that one. I can see that.
Yeah. All right, that's all cuts.
Okay. All right.
So a couple of the ads thrown in to kind of talk about why we're trying to swap them out. So we got to go through the additions now.
Okay.
So obviously the ones I already talked about were Godzilla, Gwenna, Kibo, the Prowling Serpapod, the Slippery Bog Ponder, and the Somberwood Sage. So that leaves, first up, we have Arasta of the Endless Web. This is two colorless green-green for an enchantment creature spider. Has reach. Whenever an opponent casts an instant or sorcery spell, create a 1/2 green spider creature token with reach. It's a 3/5. So I was kind of thinking here, not only is Rurik Thar pinging people for six, you're also making a board to help block, you know, dragons, flyers, things like that, flyers, like... I kind of like that synergy of being able to, like, just keep flooding the board with spiders because people are playing spells.
I like that. That's actually a good idea. Kind of just making lots of blockers with reach too. That's fantastic. That all the blockers are gonna have reach. So,
got that big butt. Look at that big butt.
Oh, 3/5. Look at the art itself. Big butt. Yeah, that's a lot of
really creepy. Don't like looking at that personally. Got arachnophobia. Gonna stop looking at it.
Oh, really? There goes my spider tribal deck.
Pause for a second. I looked at making a Shelob deck and was like, I can't. Like, I'm going to throw up looking at these
just
cards.
Just getting the ick, just like going through all the stuff. Just like, yeah, no, I was like, can't do it. The name of the deck is Cody threw up on his keyboard. All right.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, next up, I have Clothis. Clothis? Clothis. God of Clothis. Destiny. This is one colorless, red and a green for a legendary enchantment creature god. Indestructible, as long as your devotion to red and green is less than 7, Clothis is not a creature. At the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, exile target card from a graveyard. If it was a land, you could add a red or a green. Otherwise, you gain 2 life, and Clothis deals 2 damage to each opponent. Cheap graveyard hate, something we're not having in this deck.
Mm-hmm.
Chance to add more mana if someone... Here's what I was thinking. 9 times out of 10 in our pod, if someone has to discard a card, they're usually discarding a land.
Absolutely.
So there should be ample opportunity to give you that extra red or green mana you need to cast Primal Surge.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, you know a couple people who really like to reanimate things.
You?
Me. Get rid of my creatures. And okay. Deal 2 damage to everybody in the process.
All right.
Get 2 life.
Well, and also what I like is the fact that's indestructible too. So if you do have your have it as a creature, then now you have a 4 or 5 indestructible blocker, which is gods are always so good. Gods are so good in Magic. So
I had Xenagos on this list, but I was like, I don't think it does enough to warrant being in the deck.
Really?
Because it gives haste and then doubles, and I was like, I don't know if that's really worth it for us to have. Maybe a thing to look at.
Okay.
Xenagos, God of Rebels, also an idea.
God Eternal Ronus. Maybe.
I did have that one. That was my other like let's finish the game card.
Double the power of each other creature.
Yeah, but I was like, I don't think Laz likes that card. So
I do like it. I hate when it's played against me because Creeps always gets it. Always gets it. Yeah, why is God Eternal Ronus on this though?
Hey, card to add.
Yeah, Primal Surge. Nice it comes stuff. Out and just doubles the power toughness of everything that it brings out with it.
Yeah, and gives vigilance. So like, holy shit. Naeth of the Dire Hunt. This is 2 colors for a green human warrior. Whenever one or more creatures you control fight or become blocked, draw a card.
Okay.
A little bit more card draw.
A little bit, yeah.
At the beginning of combat on your turn, you may pay 2 and either a red or a green. If you do, double target creature's power until end turn. That creature must be blocked this combat if able. You got some big creatures in here.
Real big people.
Double the power. And get to draw a card off it because it then has to be blocked. It's also a little bit like a removal thing because like you're forcing somebody to block with a creature.
Yeah, you got a 22-22 trampling Godzilla coming at you, and he has to be blocked. So good luck. I like that. I like that they have to be blocked. So that is cool.
Yeah, pretty strong. I felt like so. I was like, let's talk about that one.
All right. Sure. Yeah. No, that's getting added.
Last up, and I kind of, this is not a mana dork, but this is a creature that's gonna help you get your cards out. This is Nylea Keen-Eyed, 3 colors and a green, another enchantment creature god.
Mm-hmm.
I love these cards.
So strong.
Indestructible, as long as your devotion to green is less than 5, and Nylea isn't a creature. Creature spells you cast cost 1 less to cast.
It's nice.
2 colorless and a green. Reveal the top card of your library. If it's a creature card, you can put it into your hand. Otherwise, you may put it into your graveyard. 5/6.
Here is my only concern. Is that I know for a fact that the first time I pay 3 mana to reveal the top card of my library is going to be Primal Surge, and it's going into my graveyard.
It says you may put it into your graveyard.
Okay, all right, hold on.
So you are safe from that. Head.
Otherwise, you may put it. Okay. All right, that's good.
If you draw a land and you don't need that land, you can put that your land in the graveyard, you're safe.
And you could just keep on, you don't have to tap it either, so... You can just keep on pumping that up, too, if you want. If you're trying to rip through your deck real quick, if you're getting flooded or something, that's good. All right. On first read, I was like, no, because as soon as that Primal Surge is in my graveyard, then I'm effed, you know?
Yeah. But, nope. I would understand. Yeah, I definitely would not be suggesting it then. And yeah, you know, we talked about creatures that, like, were they really expensive or just cards that, like, I don't feel like I wanted to really talk about in this case, such as Gyratronal Aronis, Terror of the Peaks, Xenagos, God of Rebels. But those are also cards to consider if you're really trying to power this deck up. But yeah.
I like that. I would say add these 10 cards. I think 8 of them are definitely going in there. We have to see. You know, I don't like that you targeted my monkey. but no, a lot of these, I think, are, you know, your cuts weren't, like you said, I was kind of wondering how you were going to show me what you mean, but you weren't cutting bad cards. You're kind of just trying to swap out effects. So yeah. I think you might have made my job a little bit harder because a lot of these cards that you added, I like in addition to, you know, the cards that you wanted to cut. You know, some of these cuts can definitely go. The Tarrasque I might keep, but Ronus the Indomitable, that can go. Kogla Yadaro, that can go. And what was the other one? Drum Hunter, stuff like that. But I think a lot of your additions are going to be forcing me to cut elsewhere in the deck. Cut a land.
Well, you know, yeah, we'll just cut 10 lands, just add my 10 lands, creatures.
Add 10 creatures. Rurik
74.
Rurik 74 is...
Can't go wrong. You have so many mana dorks. It'll be fine.
You guys see it blazing up the meta charts of strongest meta in Magic. 74 creatures.
That new CDH deck for long. no, but I think you have a really fun deck here. I like the idea, and thank you to the listener who suggested it. But yeah, a lot of cool stuff here. Like I said, I'm a big Gruul guy. I love Gruul. I think I'm taking apart my Gruul Dragons to just make another Gruul deck at this point. And I'm excited. So I'm excited for you to dive into it. I'm excited to see it play for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So, what would you say is your favorite card? Because I have two favorite cards. But one of them, yeah, I'll go over the first one of mine quick just because it's Raga Draga. I'm going to pull it up and just read it. We already spoke about it at the beginning of the episode, but Raga Draga, Gore Guts Boss, best named creature.
Yes, amazing.
So it's two colorless, a red and a green. Each creature you control with a mana ability gets +2/+2. Every single one of my dorks, and even some of these other weird creatures that do good stuff and then just randomly have a mana ability, you know, tacked on there, this counts towards it. Whenever a creature you control with a mana ability attacks, untap it. Fantastic. You can attack with your mana dorks that are buffed, and then you can post-combat main phase, then use them to, you know, get their mana ability and do some stuff with it. And then the final ability, whenever you cast a spell, if at least 7 mana was spent to cast it, that's a lot of mana that I have, untap target creature. It gets +7/+7 and gains trample until end of turn. So I think that is a really fun way to use all my mana dorks, you know, to get that, give something +7/+7 and trample, and then be able to untap my mana dorks at, you know, second main phase so that I left up my mana and I'm still going to have blockers after combat. That's why I said Raga Draga is kind of secret commander for this deck. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm hoping to get this fairly early and have it kind of carry my board until I can get some of these huge creatures out or until I can get Primal Surge. So that's kind of the easy best card in the deck, I think. I do have one other one, but let's hear yours first.
I think mine's going to be Zapandrel, Hunger Dominus. This is from the Dominus cycle from the Phyrexian LV1.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 5 colorless green for a legendary creature for Phyrexian Horror. It has reach, and at the beginning of each combat, double the power and toughness of each creature you control until end of turn.
Awesome.
Very strong. Just mm-hmm. You have a Rurik Dara's Vigilance, so it's always going to be untapped, so you can always be blocking with it. It's always going to be a 12/12. Very strong. Love it. I think it's probably one of the greatest green cards they've printed in a very long time.
Absolutely. So.
Let's hear it, Laz.
It has another ability on the bottom, too. That's still good.
Oh, it does. Look at that. two green Phyrexian mana, so you can either pay green mana or two life each. Sacrifice two other creatures, put an indestructible counter on Zapandra, Hunger Dominus. That Bog Bonder, move that indestructible counter over the Rurikthar real quick.
Yeah, that's true too. I like that because I like that because you do have a lot of mana dorks. So once this is out there and you're doubling the power toughness of all these huge creatures, like your Vigor, or you know, so your Ur-Risk, like these Cogla, other creatures,
like that, yeah.
There's stuff like that, and it's like, all right, well, let me just sacrifice Birds of Paradise and Land of War Elves. You know, it's kind of just dump two creatures that aren't really needed to prolong, you know, the effects of doubling power toughness. So I really like this card, and I dislike playing Phyrexian cards or Praethers and stuff like that, and I added two Phyrexian cards in this deck because I also had the Ur-Risk, the Hidden. Creatures you control have haste. Creatures your opponents control enter the battlefield tapped. I've been informed that apparently that is not stacks, so this is going in the deck and making stuff enter tapped, but I typically don't add Phyrexian cards. But yeah, like you said, the Zephandrel was just too good not to add.
Very strong. Yep.
All right, my favorite card, Bane of Progress. I love this card in this deck. Four colorless, a green and a green for a 2/2 creature elemental. When Bane of Progress enters the battlefield, destroy all artifacts and destroy all enchantments. Put a 1/1 counter on Bane of Progress for each permanent destroyed this way. If I can't have artifacts, if I can't have enchantments, no one's going to have them. So I would just love to wait till someone's like, all right, you know, I took out Rurikthar so I can play all my artifacts, all my enchantments, get my board set up before I'm able to pay, you know, pay the tax to get them back out there and just slap down this. Like, nope, just pretty much a one-sided board wipe because none of my stuff's going to get affected. And this thing can get huge. This has the potential to get huge. Yeah. You know, you're taking out all artifacts and enchantments. It's just, if someone's got a lot of treasures going on, if someone's playing Tron, if someone's playing Thopters, you know, like Artifact Tribal. I think we have two Artifact Tribal decks that get thrown around in our pot. It's just, this is a good way to wipe the board, make an enormous creature, and it doesn't affect me at all. So I thought this card, I was looking for a lot of cards similar to this, and there wasn't as many as I would have liked in these colors. You know, I was checking a lot, but that's why I was like, all right, this has to be the best card in the deck because there's not a single other card that replicates this ability, you know, or does it better. So I really liked that card.
Very strong. Love it a lot. So, yeah, I agree.
And that's Rorik 64. That's it.
So I guess the question is, Les, are you going to say brew it or screw it?
Man, every episode I've said brew it. I just, it's very hard for me to put the time and effort into a deck and say, nah, it's not that good. But the thing is, this deck is fairly inexpensive compared to our other decks. This one comes in at like $250. And if you're not counting land, it's even cheaper. It's $250 bucks, and that's what, you know, the shock lands and dual lands and, you know, stuff like that. So it's pretty cheap. It's $200. And I had a lot of fun playtesting it. I was very upset that I didn't get to bring it to, you know, our table and get to play it. But this week I'm hoping to actually be able to play against other people and see. But, man, for $200, this one might be... This might be worth buying, you know, buying a paper. And it's a lot of creatures that people probably already have. You know, these are, for the most part, the majority of this deck are common and uncommon creatures. You know, it's obviously some of these big hitters are not, but there's so many mana dorks in here that you probably have half of these things just sitting in a box somewhere. You know, all these mana dorks that you wouldn't think to use. So... I'm going to say brew it, and it's going to be hard for me to say screw it on a deck. I swear, I'll make a bad deck one day. It just hasn't happened yet.
I think in hindsight, you would say screw it.
I would say screw it to Jared. Jared, I was so confident. I thought Monarch was going to be the wave of the future, and that shit sucked. It just never happened. So I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to say brew this. I really like it. I think this is gonna be a lot of fun, and I honestly can't wait to bring it to the table and play it.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see you play it, man. I think it's gonna be really good. And you know, that one dude who has been holding on to Hammer Mage ever since it was printed back in 1998 is fucking ecstatic that we talked about it on this episode.
They talked about my card. No.
They talked about Hammer Mage.
Well, it's a great card. And like I said, I found that by being in the Gatherer site. Yeah. And then, you know, by going on EDH Rec and instead of searching by Commander, just typing in that card and seeing what other similar cards are in there. So Hammer Mage is that's a fun one. I like that ability, that the one sided board wipes, which is very funny that I was able to find two of them in this deck that's only creatures. But I like this deck. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm very excited to play it, and you know, I'll give it a play test or two in the group, and if it does better than Jared, i.e. it, you know, gets more than three creatures out and doesn't suck, then I think I'll be building this one up.
Hell yeah. Well, people, if you enjoyed this episode and want to see the deck for yourself, we'll have the deck list in the description down below. Yeah, really good deck. Really, really happy that we got to go over it. And excited to see you play it, man, for sure. If you want to reach out to us and let us know what you thought about this deck, you can reach out to us on Twitter, @BrewItOrScrewIt, on Instagram, because we are now new to Instagram. Mm-hmm. We're just BrewItOrScrewIt on there. Or at email at BrewItOrScrewIt@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Or the comments. There are comments on podcasts, so you can do that.
Leave comments on podcasts.
While you're there, leave a review, hit the like, do follow, the buttons, all that stuff. Do the buttons. Do all the button stuff.
I want, if someone has been listening to our episodes and listened to that Jared deck episode and was like, I knew that was going to be bad, or I knew it wasn't going to work, please send a message and say like, man, I heard that episode, I knew it was going to be trash, because I'm not having fun. Or if you know how I could fix it. That's unrelated to this deck. Yeah. Just, you know, we've been talking about it so much. I'm very curious if someone was listening and like, oh, I knew that wasn't going to work, or I tried it and, you know, and you need to do this and this to make it work better. I'm genuinely curious, because I don't know what I'm missing. On paper, it seems like it should be good. But I think this one is more straightforward than that. You're not relying on the Monarch mechanic. You're not relying on the randomness of the board of, you know, whether you're going to be able to maintain Monarch. This deck is very straightforward. This is lands and creatures, baby. This is Magic at its core before it gets polluted with all those enchantments and artifacts and instants and sorceries. But,
oh boy.
No, I think this is going to be a very fun deck. It's a very cheap deck to build. And, I would love to hear people's comments on it. So please listen, like, subscribe, leave comments, post, you know, just comment on the Twitter or the Instagram page and say, hey, seems fun, or I've already tried an all creatures deck and it sucked, or why didn't you name it Oops All Creatures? Many things could have happened. So, all right. Yeah. That's my thing.
All right. Well, you'll hear us again in 2 weeks for our episode of Brew Review. We'll be talking about my deck, Cocaine Bear, and what we should do with it, because I'm kind of leaning towards a whole bunch of different directions.
All right.
But yeah. Until then, should we say brew it
or screw it? This is a brew.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.